As this year's program, Christmas program was being prepared, it was observed how often reference to obedience was made in the biblical text. I'm not sure if you picked that up as the text was being read. I think sometimes you have to actually spend time reading it yourself for it to stand out. The first reading, Luke chapter 1, Mary submitted to God's plans for her. Perhaps the one that was most obvious, at least that I picked up again as I listened, was the reading from Matthew, as Joseph did what the angel commanded. Both Joseph and Mary submitted to government authorities by going to Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds followed the angel's instructions and went into Bethlehem to find the Christ. The wise men heeded God's warning and returned home a different way. We could continue with more of the Christmas story as well as the life of Christ and see frequent references to normal obedience. This wasn't obedience to special dreams and angelic visitors. That's what we often hear in the Christmas story. But there's reported simple obedience to God's law. Joseph and Mary were obeying the law when they circumcised Jesus, when they presented him at the temple, when they followed the purification rites for Mary. Jesus submitted to his parents as a boy. Even during his public ministry, he obeyed God's laws, even paying the temple tax, though as the Son of God, he would not have had to do so. He attended the feasts that were required of Jews in Jerusalem. All which the law required, Jesus did it. This obedience hints at the situation into which Jesus was born. Paul describes it in Galatians 4 with a simple phrase, Jesus was born under law. And law demands obedience. Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5 says the following, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. There is a second phrase in these two verses, which also has law in it. It says, to redeem those under law. These two phrases help us to focus on what was really happening behind all those references to obedience. In Galatians, Paul had been referring earlier in the letter to the Mosaic law. That is probably the reference in these two verses. And it would mean that Jesus was born as a Jew, subject to the Mosaic law. Writing to the Philippians, Paul says that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ, who was Lord over the law, when he became a man, placed himself under the law and submitted to it. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says he learned obedience. In chapter 4 verse 15 of Hebrews, it says he has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never failed his lessons. He learned what it was to obey, and he never disobeyed. When tempted, he resisted. Always. He finally showed ultimate obedience when he submitted to God's plan and died for us on the cross. But the part of the Christmas story which we heard read this morning talks about other people obeying. It's not so much about the obedience of Jesus. He was being born. He submitted to God's, the Father's plan to become man. But the rest of the references seem to be about people obeying. And these are addressed in the second phrase in Galatians. God sent his Son to redeem those under law. All Israel was under the written law of God. God had given to Israel through Moses a detailed written law requiring certain moral, civil, ritual behavior. And all Israel was obligated to keep this law. In a similar fashion, all men are under law, though it may not have been the Mosaic law. God has communicated his moral law in our consciences. He has communicated things about his existence and glory in creation. And it's expected of every human being that we live in complete obedience to the knowledge which we have. It may differ from person to person, but everyone has at least the knowledge that God exists. And in Romans chapter 1, it tells us that God expected everyone to submit to this knowledge. But mankind rejected that knowledge. And instead of worshiping the Creator, they worshiped created things. We also have a conscience. And our conscience will tell us to do one thing or another or condemns. Also in Romans chapter 2, it talks about how easy it is to look at another person and say, well, that's wrong. And it says we condemn ourselves when we do it, because as soon as we blame another person for doing something wrong, we point the finger at ourselves and show that we also have fallen short. Every human being falls short of complete obedience to God. And the law, instead of being a way to please God, becomes that which condemns us. If we attempt to please God by keeping the law, it requires that we keep all the law. Breaking just one law makes us a lawbreaker. Failing to obey one command removes any chance of pleasing God by being law-abiding citizens. Those who sit in prison aren't there because they broke all the law. They broke one law. And they were caught and condemned. So also with us, by breaking just one law, we become a lawbreaker. And all those we heard about this morning from the reading, whether it was the wise men who obeyed God in the dream, or Joseph and Mary obeying the civil law, going to Bethlehem to be enrolled, to be taxed. Their attempts to obey God, they were successful in these. But somewhere in their lives, they failed. And I believe we can all sense that. Even when we try to do what is right, we go through and we think it's going okay, but we can all point to something in our lives and know, in that I failed. In our heart, it condemns us, saying we didn't live up 100% to all that we have done. And the law then becomes our prison master. It boxes us in. It reminds us of our guilt. Also in Galatians, it talks about being prisoners to the law. We were under slavery in chapter 4, verse 3, under slavery to the law. Verse 23 of chapter 3, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until the faith should be revealed. The law basically does not help us. It just condemns us. It boxes us in. It attempts to restrict us from doing worse, but it has no power to remove the guilt which we have incurred by breaking even just one law. The law points the finger, telling us what we have done, but it doesn't offer a hand to help us out of that problem. And if we can't get ourselves out, then someone else has to do it. A price must be paid to get us out of the prison, to get us out of bondage, to get us out of that box into which the law has put us and fenced us in. And there are pictures of this in everyday life. In the Roman world, 2,000 years ago, slavery afforded the most common and best picture. A person was bound in slavery unless somehow a price was paid to free them. Today in our culture, we don't have slavery, but there are examples of material things that can be bought free. I'm not sure if they do it in Basel, but I know in some places your car, if it's left too long in one place where it shouldn't be, might get towed away. And then you have to go to the pound to get it out. And you have to pay a price to get your car out. We have pawn shops. People can go in. They might go in and sell a ring to a pawn shop to get some money. And later they can go back and buy it back out of the pawn shop to get it back. This action of paying a price to get something freed is called redemption. We redeem it. A person redeems what they sold to a pawn shop. A slave was redeemed from slavery or from the slave market. According to Galatians 4, 3 and 4, this was the reason God sent Jesus, to redeem those under law. The law had boxed us in with no escape of ourselves. We were worse than a car that had been impounded or a ring sold to a pawn shop. Jesus came to pay the price that would set us free from bondage. The price we had to pay for our guilt, for the breaking of even just one law of God, is death, separation from God. And Jesus came to take our place in death, to take our punishment. And that was the price of our redemption. And we sang about it this morning. We heard it sang. We sang of Jesus born to be a Savior. We sang of the one born to be a sacrifice. We sang of His redeeming love. And this was God's plan. But when the time had fully come, all the details for what God wished to accomplish had been set in place. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son. Jesus, the Son of God, was the only one who could provide an adequate payment. Born of a woman, He became flesh, took on human form to live among us as one of us, to be an adequate substitute for us. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now here is something remarkable. Not only did Jesus come to pay the price to get us out of bondage, but we get more than freedom. We receive the full rights of sons. A slave could be released from a slave market and set free to go on his own way. But such a freed slave would have no resources, possibly no family that could help. He would only have his freedom. I'm sure they would be overjoyed for the first 5 minutes and then wonder, what am I going to do? In fact, in the Old Testament, there was an option for slaves to enter back into slavery because it was much more comfortable. Things were provided for them. But God has done so much more. He has not only freed us in Jesus Christ, but He has given us rights to become sons. We are given the status of sons. And in the culture of that day, sons meant being heirs, not just children. And we think of, we should perhaps make this more gender-free and say, well, we're children of God. That's true. But it's more than just children. It's heirs. We receive the blessings that God wants to give. We receive the full blessing of God along with this freedom. John expressed it this way. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Being boxed in and under bondage, there is nothing we can offer for our redemption. We need only receive Jesus for who he is. He is God who has come in human form to take our place and die for our sin. And the sufficiency of his death for us was demonstrated in his resurrection. God raised Jesus from the dead because his suffering was an adequate, acceptable payment. It didn't just end with the death of Jesus. It continued with his resurrection, God saying, yes, the payment was sufficient. I will give him life as he will grant life to others. When we receive Jesus, he becomes the payment for our sins. If you have never done this, if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you to consider it today. He is the redemption for our sins, the price paid for that one thing, two, maybe more that comes to your mind when you know you have not been obedient to what God has told you. When you have failed to give Him the glory and obedience that we see is deserved from His creation. What we are told in our conscience of the way we should obey. If you have never received forgiveness from Jesus, please do it now. For those of you who have, we need to rejoice that we have more than just freedom. We have received the full rights of sonship with all the blessings that go with that. Paul writes in Ephesians that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ who is in heaven. This is our heritage. It's so much more than just freedom. And as we look at this Christmas season, to remember these two verses, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can celebrate this Christmas season. I thank you that we have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. All our attempts at obedience fall so far short of what's needed to have your holiness. We have all sinned and come short of your glory. And that is what would be demanded of us if that was the only way to become your children, the only way to be pleasing to you. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son, that he came to be a man born under law, to be obedient fully the way we could not be, to redeem us who are under law and who have failed to live up to it. Thank you that we have in Jesus Christ a Savior, one born for us to be our Redeemer. In his name we pray. Amen.